And it's time now really to move on with the message, and I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We love your word. We can't wait to hear what you've got to say to us, whether it's a challenge, whether it's an encouragement, whether it's a comfort, whether it's a blessing. We embrace everything that you have to say to us. And so, in Jesus' name, let us just be open to receive what you have for us today. And we just discard that which isn't, and absorb and drink in and eat that which is. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, as I said before the prayer, I'm just going to continue with our series in Colossians. And it's my job to bring about this section on the workplace. And, the workplace is very different for everyone, especially at the moment. And in doing so, to cast a net as wide as I possibly can, I like to kind of redefine what I mean by workplace as we move through these scriptures. I like to think that the workspace, I should say the workplace, we can redefine it as workspace, or reword it as the word workspace. And it's really, it's wherever we spend the most, our most productive hours, day or night, workspace. It could be anything. It could be volunteering. It could be an employee. It could be an employer. Unless, of course, you don't do anything, which I doubt very much. And also, I'll be reading this passage of scripture from the Passion Translation, because the other translations tend to use the word masters and slaves, or masters and servants, and somehow that seems to have got lost in our that would have got lost in our society today, because we're a million miles from slavery, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, of course. It does, and some of it's going on around us. But as a general cultural thing, it was abolished years ago, many years ago, thankfully, and we don't connect with it. And so there's every danger that when we read scriptures like this that we're about to read, we kind of dismiss it a little bit because we don't see its relevance. So we're not that actually familiar with the slave-master thing. And so it could actually cause us to gloss over and be seen as a bit of an irrelevancy. But now, make no mistake here, Paul raises the bar and rewrites culture in terms of slaves and masters. It's groundbreaking what he has to say as we listen through it. He doesn't seek to reinforce the culture that and sets a completely new standard, and it's a challenging one. As opposed to reinforcing the culture, as opposed to reinforcing the place of masters, and people have been guilty back in the Victorian days in our nation of using scripture to justify subjugation or subordination and the mastery of that. So Paul masterfully sets everyone free in these scriptures, because the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit on us and as individuals, he seeks to show how we can be really, really free because of God, but not necessarily through fighting or revolting, but through the love of God. As many of us don't have that traditional workspace any longer, or that workplace any longer, as I said earlier, I want to rename it as workspace. That's where you spend most of your productive hours each day and night, whether you're a volunteer, an employee, an employer, a business owner, self-employed, or none of the above. As you will see, this is all about character. So let's then read from Colossians chapter 3 through to chapter 4, verse 1. We go from verse 22. And as I said before, we're reading from the Passion Translation. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and soul into every activity that you do, as you're doing it for the Lord himself, and not merely for others. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord, as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. See, you know, slaves never had an inheritance, but they had one in God. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed, for God pays no attention to the titles or prestige of men. And going into chapter 4, verse 1, employers, treat your workers with equality and justice, as you know that you also have a Lord and Master in heaven who is watching you. I believe that is better said, is watching over you as opposed to stalking you. But nevertheless, God is watching. And there's an, you've got God, or Paul, God through Paul, points out it's quite important, both for the employer and the employee. That's the person who is responsible for producing a piece of work, and the person who is responsible for seeing to it that it happens and that everyone contributes to the end product. No one is respected by God any higher than the other. Groundbreaking at the time, massively groundbreaking, actually quite groundbreaking now. It's a tall order. And though we sense these words are right and good, it's not easy in reality. There are many things in life that hinder or challenge our values. We don't want to be dominated. We don't want to be taken for a ride. Whether we're an employer or an employee or a volunteer, we don't expect to be abused or taken for granted, and quite rightly. We want to be respected for whoever we are and not exploited. So when we feel that way, when we feel we've been exploited, used or taken for granted, we get defensive and we withdraw and become restricted in our love and our charity and our outwardness. Or we become angry and fight back, often with disastrous outcomes. Our workspaces these days have completely changed. This day and age, our workplaces have completely changed. And not only that, they keep changing. And enforced change brings a kind of disorientation and discouragement and uncertainty and fear. The place where we spend most of our productive time, whether an employee, employer, supervisor, volunteer, homemaker, homekeeper, mother, father, brother, sister, it all seems so unfair. Whether if sometimes we're working in places where our workspace, many disregard the rules of COVID. Or employers, or the people responsible, the support they should give is inadequate, and everything can seem so unfair. But we soldier on, we battle on. At home, with all the distractions and family routines being completely smashed, and how that affects different people in different ways. Quite often the parents are bearing the brunt of the reactions of those changes from their children. So whether we're situated at home or having to use public transport, there is great uncertainty. Job security is challenged, finances threatened, negative atmospheres breeding even more fear. News maybe 3 or 4 times a day. Isolation as more people work at home. I've always believed that a place of work needs to be a happy place, not just clocking on and clocking off. These scriptures, they bring our faith challenge right to the centre of what we do with our most productive times of day. and night. You might ask, well, ask yourself, who am I these days? What am I these days? However, whether we're a boss, an employer, an employee, or whoever we are, whatever role we play, we can make a difference. Some good news. We can bring hope into the workplace or our workspace where we spend most of our productive time. We don't have to fear. We don't have to spread fear. And if we do, and we've joined that negative department, then we can change. We can be different because we are different and we are filled with Christ and therefore filled with hope. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to us by putting over what sometimes seems negative from a worker's perspective, you know, bow the knee, do what you're told, do a great job. There is nothing wrong with that. That's groundbreaking. Not trying to get away with things on the blind side of your employer or those who are responsible to you, thinking you've maybe pulled a fast one or pulled the wool over someone's eyes and you maybe get some kind of, I don't know, joy out of that. We are filled with Christ and therefore filled with hope. I have a couple of personal testimonies of hope in a negative environment. And just a thumbnail of my experience with it. I've been an employee, I've been freelance, I've been self-employed, I've been a boss, I've been in a partnership running a business, I've worked for big companies and small companies, I've been a volunteer. I've worked for people and I've had people working for me. And I've had great experiences and I've had excruciating experiences. I've been unemployed and I've been off long-term sick. I've been in a position where I've had no income whatsoever and God has always provided. You could say, I've been there and I've done it. Most of my working life, it's been my privilege to have been able to carry Christ into almost every one of those situations. What a privilege. As a boss or responsible, or being responsible, I've been able to be generous to employees. As an employed person, I've been able to be generous, albeit challenging at times, to employers and colleagues. Yes, I've made mistakes, but the main testimony is that the testimony of Christ is upheld and has remained. That's the beautiful thing, that we're able to maintain a testimony of Jesus Christ in the most difficult of workspace during the most difficult periods in our lives. I've had the extreme joy and privilege of seeing colleagues come to faith. I've hardly ever had to preach. I was asked once what makes me tick, so I told them what makes me tick. In one place, we were all facing redundancy, or what is known as toupee. We didn't quite know where we were going to be. Whoa. The atmosphere was horrendous and it seemed to be prolonged and it was getting worse. People were panicking. It brought out terrible reactions and responses. Some were became ultra competitive, trying to make themselves look greater so they might be kept on. Even lying about others, making up stories. Ultra competitive and wanting to make other people look less than themselves. However, you know, one by one, quite a number in the midst of all that of people just sidled up next to me at some point, picked their moment, either making a cup of tea or in the corridor. They got alongside me to ask me what I think. Now, often people didn't know what I want to think when they were passing pornographic pictures around on their phones and stuff like that. They knew what I thought, but there's all sorts of things, all sorts of reasons. You know, Mickey taking about faith and stuff like that in church. But for a time, people came alongside me and asked me what I thought and wanted to know why this didn't seem to be affecting me like it was affecting others. That's what it seemed, but it did affect me. I was concerned. I was worried, but I was taking my worries and my concerns to the one whose shoulders were big enough to bear it, Jesus. And I was able to share my secret with them, that I align myself with God and he dwells within me and brings the peace of God into things that I don't understand. And I was able to bring that sense of peace to others more often than not without realizing it. That's the beauty of it, because it's him. And we don't realize it's happening until we hear the stories later. Today, due to this pandemic, negativity is everywhere. There's positivity as well. There's some great things happening, things that you never thought could happen and come out of society that's so competitive. There are great things happening. But as time goes on, the prolonged nature of it brings a lot of negativity and excruciating circumstances that we know we need God more than ever. And in that very same circumstance, it's possible to neglect our connection and our union with God. As these things prolong, as the hope doesn't seem to be realized, we can neglect our connection and our union with God. You know, Jesus is the only answer and is the most important part of our lives. And it's that that brings attitude change. These scriptures that we've read, they're really about attitude. They're about godly attitude. They're about the attitude that comes from the indwelling God. And so it's so important to be in connection with God, even when it's difficult. We have to let scripture and worship mold and shape who we are. We have to become more like Jesus. We need that time with him. And sometimes we have to purposefully carve that time out that we can get close to him, because it can take time to get close to him. Maybe, just might be, one less Netflix series and one more union with Jesus. Attitude. That's it. He changes our attitude. And we, with Christ in us, can change the attitude of an atmosphere. It can change the attitude of a workspace. You can be a ray of hope. And that's a big thing to put on people's shoulders. But we don't have to. The only thing we have to do is walk with Jesus. The only thing we have to do is have faith and believe in him and spend time with him. We then become more Christ-like. You can't make yourself Christ-like. It's he that makes me a new Christ-like. Attitude, a generous attitude that creates scope and space in us to love and give, to lead and to obey. What Paul is talking about is a generous attitude. A generous attitude, giving more than we seemingly have. He is the best remedy when we're struggling in our workspace. Him, Jesus, he's waiting for us to cry out to him. He's waiting here for you and me. I want to suggest that we close with a song today and make it our prayer for change in us. If you're not affected by all this, then maybe as we sing and worship God with a heart of compassion, maybe you'll pray for those who are struggling and are suffering. Perhaps uncertainty has been eroding your faith. You need to receive right now a big dose of love and grace from him today. I know I do. So let's put ourselves and all our difficulties in the flow of healing from God. Let him recalibrate our mindset. Let him change our attitude where it needs changing. Let him strengthen us and comfort us so that our workspace, however good or bad, becomes a place of fruitfulness, even in these difficult times. it just might be that even we can make a difference. Also, I would say that you might be someone who has given their backs at this time. And I want to thank you if you are. You're more than exhausted. You feel like packing it all in. He wants to give you strength this morning, today. He wants to give you hope and peace that cannot be understood. Receive it as we sing. We're going to sing right now. And may the Lord bless you as you battle with your workspace battles, as you walk, if you've had to walk through loss and death and disappointment, disorientation, maybe even abandonment. Believe for a better week this week. Receive and start to live God's inheritance for you. I believe God wants us to receive today, not a little bit, but a lot.
If faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, we're waiting here for you.
Lift it high.
Let me pray with you. Dear Father, we've heard great challenging words at the time were groundbreaking, but we know we can apply them to us. We know that you want us to be lights in the darkness, to be salt where salt is needed, to be those that can change things and make a difference. Lord, but we forgive us when we thought we've got to do it in our own strength and we failed and we've run out of strength. Pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you fill us with your love. We are waiting here for you, but you are waiting for us too. You're waiting for us to open up the scripture. You're waiting for us to pray. You're waiting for us to pour out our hearts. You're waiting for us to just be silent in your presence. And so, Lord, we're going to carve time out this week and we're going to wait on you. We're going to cry our hearts out to you. We're going to pray and we're going to worship you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.